time to be here in the house of the Lord. I really am excited to see you today and to be able to share with you the Word of God once again. I for the last several weeks, God has been really speaking to my heart and to my spirit about several different things that I'm dealing with personally. You know, the enemy is no respecter of person. Did you know that? He don't care who you are. He don't care if you are a millionaire or you're just an average guy or lady like we are today. The enemy has no respecter of person. And he is, you know, the Bible tells us that the enemy's come to do three things: kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the enemy's come to do. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that's in John 10:10. I'll have to verify that, but you correct me if I'm wrong. But the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, to create havoc upon our lives. Amen. That's what the enemy's come to do. But Christ says that he's come that we might have life and life more abundantly. That's why Christ came. And you know, every time I have probably read that verse of Scripture, I have preached that verse of Scripture, I have seen this verse of Scripture with my eyes numerous times. But it always seems to slip away from me. Anybody else? It always seems to slip away from me. But you know what? If you don't hear anything else today, if you don't hear anything else through the Word today, we have to hear this and we have to remember this. As I have been reminded this week by God Himself, in my spirit, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We have to. There is a story in the Bible where the disciples went out onto the waters, a storm come up, and they were in the boat, and they look across and the thundering and the lightning and the wind howling, and they see what they thought was a ghost. But it was Jesus. Jesus was coming to them, walking upon the water, and Peter, seeing this, calling out, "Jesus, if this be you, let me come to you. Let me get out of this boat and let me walk on the water to you." And you know what Jesus said? He said, "So be it. Come to me." And Peter takes the step out of the boat, walks out upon the water, and he was walking upon the water. Now, what do you think Peter was walking upon the water with? Faith. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ. He had faith in his heart that he could walk to Jesus upon the water. He had faith, and he was actually doing it. But the moment he saw whatever he took his eyes off of Jesus, he had his eyes fixed right upon Jesus. I want you to get that picture. Jesus, God has been speaking to my spirit this week about this very thing. When you take your eyes off the Lord, when you start looking at all your surroundings, when you start looking at all your situations, guess what you're going to do? Guess what your pastor's going to do? He's going to sink. He's going to fall. He's going to falter. He's going to start doubting. You know the number one thing the enemy wants you to do today? He wants you to falter in your faith. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to doubt the Word of God. He wants you to doubt that you can walk upon the water to Jesus Christ like old Peter was doing. And when Peter took his eyes off the Lord, and then it says in the Word of God that he began to sink. And the Lord, and he cried out to Jesus to save him. And the Lord reached out. And you know what? This always amazes me about this story. It says that in the Word of God, it says that Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. and saved him. Now, there's a couple of messages in that. I take it two ways. Jesus does save. Amen. Doesn't Jesus save? If you need saving today, Jesus can save you. Amen. I believe that today. The devil don't want you hearing that. He don't want you hearing that Jesus can save you. He don't want me talking about faith. He don't want me talking about Jesus can reach out and save you. All you got to do, and listen, all Peter had to do is reach out. All he had to do was reach out to Jesus. And Jesus took him by the hand and saved him from drowning, saved him from sinking, saved him from going under. And that's what God's been speaking to me all week long. I can save you. I'm already saved. I've already been redeemed by the blood of God. Amen. Anybody else in here in the house of God? Have you been redeemed by the hand of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ? So that tells me this morning that I am saved this morning. There's nothing that can change that. Nothing. But sometimes we forget that we're saved. We forget the victory that we've already gained. I have victory in Jesus today. That's a song we sing. I have victory in Jesus. How many have victory in Jesus today? You got victory in Jesus today? Then the Bible says if you got victory in Jesus, we're more than just conquerors. We're victorious in the Lord today. And the enemy, listen, I'm about to yell. The enemy is a liar. He is a liar. The enemy, oh Satan, he is a liar today. He don't want you knowing he's a liar. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to falter in your faith. He wants you to go under and stay that way. But the enemy is a liar today. He's a defeated liar and he knows it. The enemy is a defeated liar today. How glad are you to know that today, church family? Man, preachers need to be preaching this to everybody today. We are not defeated today. We are victorious in and through Jesus Christ. Because that's why he came. He came that we could be victorious. He came that we could be filled with joy and peace and happiness. How many want to be happy today? You want to be happy? How many want to be at peace today? With yourselves? You know how many people out in the world today are not even at peace with them own selves? And you know why they try their very best to stir up trouble? You know why they try their very best to cause you and me problems? Because they don't have no peace. They don't have no victory. They don't have the blood of Christ covering over their lives. And that's why they do everything they can do to cause havoc. Because guess who's working through them? It ain't God. It ain't Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, tell the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It's the enemy. The enemy's working right through them and they don't even know it. They're so blind. They're so blind to the Word of God. They're so blind to the presence of God and to the presence of the Holy Spirit. They denounce the cross of Calvary. They don't even think the cross of Calvary is important. They don't even think the blood of Christ that was shed for their sins is important. Let me tell you what, so that's the most important thing today. Amen? That's the most important thing today that we could even talk about. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of a multitude of sins. I say more people need to be repenting today. Amen? What do y'all say about that, church family? I say we need more repentance. I say we need more of God today. I say we need more Jesus Christ today. We don't need chaos. We don't need havoc. We don't need confusion. We need to be spreading love. You know, a lot of people watch me on Facebook. Man, you're angry. I'm not angry. I'm just telling the truth. Man, you know what? I may come off. You know, that's why I hate texting people. Because you know how sometimes you text somebody and you think, well, what's wrong with that person? He or she, they're mad at me. You know, because I always text stuff that may make you think that I'm upset or something. That's why I like talking over the phone, because that way you can know the tone. But through texting and stuff, you can't know the tone. You don't know the tone, how it is. So I'm getting some smiles in here. I'm getting some laughs in here. See, they know what I'm talking about. You don't know the tone. See, there's a lot of people out in the world today, they don't know the tone. They don't know the tone of God. They don't know the love of God. And that's why they walk around doing the things they're doing. Because they ain't been asking God to forgive them for all their wrongdoings. I'm a guilty man this morning. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I ask God to forgive me every day of anything I do or think or say. Therefore, I know I keep myself in check. But a lot of people just walk around like it ain't no big deal. But listen, the enemy wants you to be that way. He wants you to live like that. He wants to stir in the pot, if you will, and cause all kinds of problems for anybody and everybody. But the Lord says it doesn't have to be that way. And old Peter, about to go under, the Lord reached out and saved him. I'm glad I got a God that saved me. I don't know if you're glad you're saved this morning or not, but I am. Maybe you think this morning that, well, the Lord ain't for me. I used to be that way. I used to think like that. Well, he ain't real. That's another thing that the enemy... He said, listen, you need to know who your enemies are today. Okay? The devil don't want you knowing who your enemies are today. Doubt is an enemy to faith. Amen? Can you say amen to that? Doubt is an enemy to faith. You can't have faith and have doubt at the same time. The Word of God that I read says that you can't serve two masters. Either you're going to serve the one or the other. Or you're going to love the one or you're going to hate the other. And a fig tree doesn't grow, as far as I know, fig trees don't produce grapes or oranges or apples, do they? If it's a fig tree, it's a fig tree. And listen, if you're for God this morning, you're for God. If you ain't for God this morning, you're for something else. Amen? So that tells me a lot about who you are and what you're about. And listen, when you start doubting God today, when you start doubting God can do things in your life, you've already decided who your God is. Amen? You've already decided what God can do and what God can't do. And listen, I want to tell you this morning, we've been praying. And Layla's at home with us this morning. She's in our home this morning. And God blessed us, answered our prayers this morning. We got to see her over this weekend, and we thank God for that. But there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of work that's going to take place in the near future. And listen, anybody else get weak in here? Do you get weak? Do you get spiritually weak? I do. I get spiritually, not just weak, I get spiritually drained. Thinking, and do you ever sit by yourself sometimes and think, God, why? I ask God that question all the time. God, why? Why has it got to be this way or why has it got to be that way? Why can't it just be right here? Why can't we just do it this way right here and be done with it? And everybody just live in peace. But listen, I want to tell you what Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29 says. Listen, are you ready for this? Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29 says, "For the Lord gives strength to the weary." Amen. The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. That's in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Now listen, if you're weak this morning, spiritually weak this morning, how many here in the house of the Lord would like to have a spiritual refreshing from the Lord? Amen. How great does it feel to be spiritually refreshed? Those songs we just sang, after being beat down by the world outside all week long, we come in here to the house of God and Jamie's playing the piano, and Kathy's up there leading the songs. We even got old Kelly up here in the choir with us, singing songs with us. And man, what a spiritual. You know what I was thinking, Kelly, when you was walking down in front of me just a minute ago? I was thinking, what a spiritual refreshing it is to know that God is working through a brother right here. He said, I think I'll just join the choir. I think I'll just start trying my hand at singing. And then all of a sudden, now he's up in the choir with us. You know, that ain't no coincidence this morning. That's what I call a spiritual blessing this morning, brother. That's what I call the hand of God moving upon a heart. That's what I call God moving upon a hand of a brother that's wanting to serve the Lord. And that's the way I used to be. I used to watch those people walk up the aisle, and I thought, man, I ain't no singer. When I first started going to church, I saw that choir, man. They was all piled into that choir. But see, the enemy, listen, the enemy wants you to stay in your seats today. Did you know that? The enemy don't want you singing today. The enemy going to say, man, you're going to feel, you get up there singing, you're going to sound like, you're going to sound terrible. Man, you can't preach. You better just stay. Don't even think about preaching. You just better stay where you're at. Even when we give an altar call, you know how many people I know, I've been in church services many times, many, many times, and the pastor will give an altar call, and there's so many people being wooed by the Spirit to come to the altar, and nobody comes, and the enemy wants you to stay right in your seat, and you'll say, man, I wish I'd have went to the altar. I wish I had that pastor or that elder pray for me, or pray for my brother or my sister or whoever that the need was for. But then you pass it on by. And then you leave church feeling miserable. You go home and thinking, man, now I got to wait till next Sunday. Well, maybe I can call the pastor. He can just pray with me over the phone. I'll pray with you over the phone. It's no problem. I can pray with you here in church or over the phone, or we can do it out on the streets. It don't matter. But don't deny the spiritual refreshing. Do you know how much better you would feel, and I would feel, if we were just to be obedient to the Lord? Man, you talking about a spiritual refreshing. You talking about the Lord just pouring down power into you, strength into your body. Man, it would be so. It would feel so great to be walk out of here today with your heads just held high. Man, I'm so glad I came to church today. I'm so glad that preacher didn't go on for 2 hours. I'm glad he did go on for 2 hours. Now I got what I needed. Maybe today is your breakthrough. Maybe today is your breakthrough. Maybe you've been waiting on a breakthrough. Maybe today is it. Maybe before this day is over, you'll have a breakthrough. Maybe it might not in church. Maybe it won't be in church today, but maybe after you leave today, maybe you'll have that breakthrough you've been waiting on. Man, I'm waiting on a breakthrough. Anybody else here in the house of God, are you waiting on a breakthrough with the Lord? I'm not talking about a breakthrough in the world. I'm talking about a breakthrough in the Lord. I'm waiting on my breakthrough. I can feel it. I know it's coming, but I don't see it yet. But I'm waiting on it. I'm waiting. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so ready. I'm so ready to praise God. I'm so ready to glorify God, to tell everybody like what God has done, what God is doing right now. Sometimes we think, well, God ain't doing nothing. Why is God taking so long? Kind of like the judicial system in Coleman. Why does it take so long to get something done in Coleman County? And maybe in all these counties, I don't know. Maybe all the judicial systems are the same way all across the country. I don't know. But why does it take so long? What are they doing? You go in a courtroom, judge, he calls the court to order, and then 15 minutes later, he's like, ding, we got to go to break. That's the kind of job I want. That's the exact kind of job I'd like to have. Work 15 minutes and take 2 hour break. And if I don't want to hear no cases, we'll just say the day's over. Come back tomorrow or come back next month. That's the way it works. But God ain't like that. When you need God, He's there. When you need an answer from God, He's there. He wants to help you. Okay, moving on. Yes, John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Now listen, my life today, I want you to know, you have no need to feel sorry for me, okay? You have no need to pity me today. or Pam, our lives, because, you know, I got a sign up in my home that says, today is today. For me and my family, we will serve the Lord. It's in my house, hanging on my walls, because when I look at that sign, I know who I'm serving. I know who's in my house. The enemy ain't in my house. The devil ain't in my house. The Lord's in my house, and that's the Lord. That's the one I'm serving today. I ain't serving the devil. I ain't serving no enemy. He ain't going to destroy me. He ain't coming into my house stealing nothing, because I know him. I see him. If I see that scoundrel coming, I'm going to rebuke him 10 miles away. I say, you ain't coming into my house, devil. And that's what all families need to be doing today. That's what all households should be doing today, standing up against the enemy, saying, you ain't coming into my house. You ain't coming into my family. You ain't going to come in here and steal, kill, and destroy my family, because I'm going to stand up against you, because I got something here to fight you with. And that's God himself. Because if God's for you, who can be against you this morning? It certainly ain't the devil. The devil can't be against you this morning. He can't defeat you this morning if you got God on your side. Amen? Y'all believe that this morning? You believe the devil can defeat you this morning? If he defeats you, he's got to defeat the God. And he ain't never been able to do that. He thought he could. He thought he was going to at the cross. But guess what? He got fooled. He's just defeated already and they don't even know it. His time's coming. His time's coming. I said, preacher, what's wrong with you this morning? I said, man, I just. Scoundrel. Listen, going on. Do you know today in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that we are God's handiwork. We have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And listen, when I tell you this morning, God don't make no junk. Amen? God don't make no junk. I'm not a piece of junk this morning. You're not a piece of junk this morning. You know those kind of toys you get that only last like 2 minutes and they fall apart and break? Or you get them out of the box and they're missing half the pieces? That ain't the way God does things. When God created you and me, He created us with the finest quality materials, most expensive, most precious materials that they were. Straight from God's hand. We are God's handiwork, created to do good works. Now that means we got to do good works in bad times. Okay? We got to do good works in bad times. We don't just do good works in good times. We do good works in bad times too. We still got to keep praying. We still got to keep loving. We still got to keep walking and with our eyes fixed on the Lord in the bad times. And I know that's tough. And I'm learning that. You know, a long time ago, I said this from this pulpit. How am I ever going to help? Brother Euland, you probably remember me saying this many times. I've always said this. How am I going to help anybody else if I don't go through anything myself? Amen? How are you going to help anybody else? Even if the world treats you like crap and steps all over you. How are you going to help anybody else? How are you going to be a witness to anybody else if you never go through anything? Listen, the road with Christ ain't all downhill. Amen? It's an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle. Now, there's going to be times when you're going to go downhill, but most of the time you're going to be going uphill. And I never like going uphill. Anybody like going uphill? I tried to ride a bicycle uphill. You have to get off halfway and push it the rest of the way. I've done that many times. Coming uphill, I'd have to stop because I'm out of breath. Because I'm getting old. But it ain't always downhill with the Lord. Keep that in mind today. Okay. I want to read just a few more verses of Scripture and we're going to close. Habakkuk, you might want to write this one down. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. I want you to listen to what he says. And man, this is the toughest thing for a Christian to do right here. This is the toughest test that you will face and I will face. Habakkuk says, even though the fig trees have no fruit and no grapes grow on the vines, even though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no grain, even though the sheep all die and the cattle stalls are empty. Now, it can't get much worse than that. But listen to what he says he will do. He says, I will still be joyful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is that not a good word to your ears this morning and to your heart? And he says, because the Lord is my Savior. Is that not an awesome word to you this morning, church family? I read this scripture. I don't know how the Lord directed my heart to this scripture right here, but I wrote it down. I said, man, I've got to share this with the church today and those that are watching on social media today. Even though everything else around us fails and everything else goes, you know what? He says, I will still be joyful. And that's the biggest test that a Christian will have. And the devil don't want you to be joyful in bad times. He wants you to just go along with it. He wants you to be upset. He wants you to be mad. He wants you to be angry. But he says in the last few words, he says, because we can do this because the Lord is our Savior. Amen. The Lord is our Savior. That's how we can remain joyful in bad times, just as well as we are in the good times. Final words. I may have to flip over here to Matthew 7:15. We're going to read this together. Matthew 7:15. Let me read this. Let me look it up real quick. Matthew 7:15. Matthew 7:15 says this to us this morning. It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are fierce wolves. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Now listen, I want to tell you something this morning. Don't let the enemy lead you astray. Don't let the enemy lead you astray. Stand firm in the Lord. And listen, I want you to remind me of this, okay? You say, Brother Phil, you told us to remind you of this next week. When everything falls apart and everything goes haywire and I may have to get on the phone with Kelly and say, Kelly, or Jamie, say, man, I want to talk to you for a minute. 2 hours later, we're still on the phone. And Kelly might say, don't let the enemy lead you astray. You remember that's what you told me to tell you. I need to hear that every single day, Frida. We need to be focused on the Lord. We need to keep our eyes up on Jesus and stand fast in our faith. And the Lord will move on our behalf. He will bless us. He will help you. He will help me. So now, are you glad you got up and came to church today? are you just like, man, I'm going to be glad when he gets done. Man, listen, the truth is the truth today. I don't know your needs today, but we're going to pray here in just a second. The Lord is good, and he's good all the time. We just have to remember that. The Lord is good, and he's good all the time. And that's what we can be joyful about. The Lord loves you today. He loves you. Man, I do anything for anybody, even my enemies. You say, well, now, preacher, come on. No, I'm telling you the truth. I would do anything for anybody, including my enemies. And I have done it. And that's why you serve the Lord as being a servant. You don't just serve some, you serve all. And we do it in the name of the Lord. No other reason. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, we truly thank you for this day. We thank you for all that are here today, Lord. We thank you for all that are watching on social media today, Heavenly Father. God, I just pray, God, that you'll continue to use us to serve you. God, show us, help us to keep our eyes fixed upon you, Heavenly Father. Lord, help us not to falter in our faith. Lord, let us not doubt. Let us not decide that you can't do this but you can do that. For Lord, I know that, Lord, you can do all things. With you, all things are possible. And I see that every day. Even when I can't see it, Lord, you show it to me. God, even if my whole world falls apart, God, I know you're still there. You're still going to be my Savior, no matter what. And I want to thank you that for that this morning, personally, Heavenly Father. God, if there be one watching today on social media or here in the house of the Lord that don't know these things, that don't know the joy and the peace and the love that they could possibly have, God, I pray they won't pass this day up. I pray, Lord, that they will just accept your Son as their Savior and let their lives be changed forever. God, forgive us when we fail you. Watch over us and protect us, Heavenly Father, in this upcoming week. And God, give us the strength to carry on when we're weak. And God, we'll give you the honor, glory, and praise. For we humbly ask this now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.